Hello friends, it's me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with yet another episode of What Page Are You On with my co-host,
friend and business partner, Alice Slater. Hi, it's me.
It's you, it very much you. How are you today, my good dude?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I am good. I'm happy to be chatting to you.
Feels like it's been a while, even though I know it hasn't. It's just that we recorded two episodes in a row, which is unusual for us.
Yeah, we did two back-to-back 2 weeks ago, so we didn't record an episode last week, even though we released an episode. So yes, it's been 2 weeks since we chatted. What are you reading right now, my friend?
I am reading No One Is Talking About This by
Patricia Lockwood. Yes.
So I am liking it. Apparently it really changes tone halfway through, and the first half is like written in vignettes that are quite experimental about kind of internet culture and memes and the ways in which that has affected the protagonist and how she views the world. And honestly, I am enjoying it, but I do feel a little bit like it's Ready Player One for internet people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I sort of feel like if I was like a very old lady, I would read this and it would be like watching Call the Midwife, you know? Like, it's just like nostalgia, but not really saying anything much. Yeah. Well, no, it is saying stuff. That's not fair. It is saying something. But I just can't fathom how I would experience this book if I didn't spend literally 24 hours a day on the internet.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, well, report back when you finished it.
I will. What are you reading?
So I have been reading a book for an event that I'm doing tonight, which is called Midsummer Mysteries. It's a collection of Agatha Christie short stories. But by the time this poddy goes out, the event will have already happened, so you don't need to know about it. The book is great, though. Very fun and nice to read them in these short story formats rather than committing to a whole novel. But anyway, the book I am also consuming right now, I had a really long break from my Audible lifestyle, so I had not been listening to audiobooks while I'd been like making my earrings and trotting around. So I got back on it with a book that is a bit like a podcast, and I'm enjoying so much. It is A True Crime Story by Joseph Knox.
Ooh, I've seen this one.
Yes. So I was sort of like, kind of intrigued. And then I thought, I'll do it on audiobook. I am loving it. I'm racing through it. It's a bit like if Daisy Jones and the Six was like true crime, in that it's very like kind of an oral history of an unsolved true crime case. But in this case, there is also this kind of weird fluidity of the presence of the author Joseph Knox, who wrote the book but is also like present in the story as a character. It's very interesting, and I think you would probably enjoy it, especially on audio.
So I was interested in this anyway, but my intrigue was piqued when I saw you tweet that you read something in it that was so scary you couldn't move until your husband got home. That speaks to me. Do you know what I mean? That really got me.
It was so scary that I was like, I literally can't believe that he has thought of something so scary to me. Like, I just, I was like, have I just heard this? Is this real? So yeah, that like, it's very creepy. But yeah, there is like one particular moment that I just found so scary. But yeah, I had to stay in the living room because I could not move around my house while I was home alone.
So yeah, very relatable.
Yes, we're little scaredy cats.
Yes.
Yeah, so I would really recommend True Crime Story to you, Alice Slater, but also to our friends listening at home that want something that's, you know, juicy and thrilling and kind of fun, especially on audio. I think it's a really good audiobook, really, and much easier to get into on audio, I would assume, than reading it on the page where you can't, you know, when it's like that kind of multiple. I also did Daisy Jones and the Six on audio, and I was sure that if I'd been reading it as a book, I would not have found it as easy to get into, just because it's like, who are all these people? Like, how do I differentiate between them? You know?
I can't wait. Maybe it'll be my spooky audiobook for the autumn.
Yes, for the impending autumn. So, Alice Slater, what are we doing today? What nonsense are we up to?
I've come up with some fun bullshit. So basically, we're both editing right now. And although we're both reading, we're not reading a huge amount. We were going to do an episode that kind of fell through and just, I don't know. So I've made up this little game, which I'm calling Smash or Pass. I mean, Smash or Pass is an existing game, but I've
invented
the title. I've repurposed the title. So basically, we've each picked 5 books from our TBRs. We're going to read each other the first lines and say Smash or Pass based just on the first line. So we're not going to know the title, the cover, the author, the publisher, just based on that opening line, whether or not we would pick up that book and read it.
I feel like I'm going to smash all of them because we have such great taste.
That's the thing. It's just an elaborate ruse to talk about first lines of books. I'm kind of thinking that we're probably just going to want to read them all, but never mind. It doesn't matter. It's the framework for the conversation that counts.
The vehicle, if you will.
Exactly. So yeah, I have 5 queens before me. I presume you do too.
I'm going to let you go first. I know you've read like some of these, so
I'm excited to see if I recognize them based on their first lines.
Yes, me too. So I'm gonna begin with a book that I bought earlier this year that has already come out. So this is all of the other books that we're kind of going to be talking about are forthcoming in either, you know, the very near future in one case or the further future in some others. But yeah, we will begin with My Sole Contribution, which is not a forthcoming book. Let me begin. This is the sound of me turning the pages.
ASMR.
Yes. An incensed blonde twink said, "Excuse me, miss, where do you think you're going? This is a members-only club."
Oh my God, I love it.
Yes.
So obviously I'd read it.
Yes.
I'm going to try. Have I read it?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, so the book that popped into my head was Suicide Blonde.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. No. So yes, I would read it. I can't figure out what this is. So
I will tell you what it is, but I will preface this by saying I bought this book based purely on vibes and reputation. I have no idea what the book is about. I was as surprised as you by the first line because I don't know anything about this book. The book is Lote by Schola von Reinhold.
Oh, awesome. I actually have that, but I don't have it on my TBR pile because annoying side story into how I live my life. Anything that's not a proof, I just shelve straight away because I won't forget that I want to read it.
Yes.
Whereas proofs, I keep them in a different location. So I didn't even think. Anyway, so yeah, love that.
Yeah. But do you know what this book is about? Because I don't.
I know that all I know about it, which I guess goes without saying, is that it's very queer.
Yes.
I think it's about gender, sexuality. I'm pretty sure the author is non-binary.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. And when I tweeted about it, loads of fucking people replied saying, I think I tweeted a picture of the LGBT table at Waterstones Piccadilly being like, on this table, what do you think, you know, what would you recommend? And so many people replied with like,
Yeah, I just feel like it's one of those books that's like around and I know that people love it. I have no sense of it. So yeah, when I got like a book voucher for Christmas, I bought it and I haven't got around to it yet, but it is, I also feel like this episode is a good statement of intent for my my future reading. So I'm like holding myself accountable to read the books that we are mentioning now.
And maybe, as I also have it, we'll do an episode on like,
yes.
Who knows?
So I'm glad that you like the sound of it based on the first line.
Okay, my turn.
Your turn.
Book page ASMR. Okay. Every man I meet thinks that they can make me understand the grid system.
Yes. Yes, smash. Just because I know that it will probably be set in New York, and I like things set in New York.
Yeah, you know, funnily enough, second paragraph mentions pointing out the Manhattan skyline.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a book called Wild Pets by Amber Medland.
Oh, I was going to pick that up, but I didn't. It's Faber, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Faber one.
So that was on my pile. I picked it up and I was like, maybe I will put this on my TBR for this episode. But then I was like, no, I will do Lote. So I'm really glad that I didn't because diversity of books.
Yeah, so this one, it's about three graduates in Trump era slash hashtag Me Too. And then, yeah, apparently it's a elegant literary debut. So the thing is, right, with this one, when it got delivered, it was right at the beginning of Sally Rooney Proof Fever. Mm. And I got this Faber package through my letterbox, and I did this joke. I'd opened it first. I opened it immediately. I knew it wasn't Sally. But I did a little joke on Twitter of like, hey, because actually, like, what was momentarily disappointing, actually, I was like, this book really looks like a bit of me. The thing is, I have actually picked it up to read it twice, and I find that opening paragraph so boring, my brain kind of slips into a kind of state of
nothingness.
Yeah, like I kind of slip into another dimension, and I can't tell you why. I think it's because when I read the words grid system, I'm like, I also don't care about that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I am intrigued by the book. I also love that the back, it says in salt, kind of spilled on the back, Mary Shelley learned to write by tracing the letters on her mother's grave. Mm. What's the relevance of that? No fucking clue, but I really fancy it. Let's find out. Get over that hump.
Cool. Well, yeah, let me know. If you do get involved, let me know. So is that out yet? When's it coming out?
Oh, sorry. That one is, I just threw it over the thing. 1st of July. So she is available.
She is out there in the world. Okay, I'm going to move on to my next pick. Long after the house is gone, it's there. That's it, that's all you're getting.
Is that?
Yes, it is.
No, stop, wait, tell me I'm worthless.
Yes, it is. It is Tell Me I'm Worthless by Alison Rumfitt, coming from Cypher Press on the 28th of October of the year of our Lord 2021. Was this on your pile?
No, I just smart. I'm so pleased with myself for getting that.
Yeah. I feel like we know that it's like housey. We know it's like a haunted house. It's very like, that's the vibe. So I'm not shocked that you picked it up based on that.
Smash, yeah, that's from the, obviously.
Yeah, 100%.
Goes without saying. I think me slapping my hands together, which was probably a very annoying thing to hear on a podcast, says it all about that one.
So true. Well, so that was from the prologue, and the prologue is entitled The Face in the Wall. So the line, long after the house is gone, it's there, refers to the face in the wall. Creepy,
oh,
huh?
Oh, I like it.
Very creepy. So I think it. If we're...
Smart, intriguing.
If we're very good girls, maybe we can have Alison on the podcast, do you think?
We ask.
Do you think if we can?
Ask really nicely.
Yeah.
Promise us some good horror chat.
Yes. Yeah, because I'm really hyped to read this. Yeah.
I think we're kind of hoping. We're hoping to go quite hard on spooky shit for October. Okay. So if you like spooky shit, stick around until October.
We'll be here then, I promise.
Okay, my next one. This one came out back in April, so it's been hanging around for a while in my life. In fact, I think that's what most of these have in common, is that they're proofs that have been hanging around for a while but haven't got to yet. Okay. And in fact, this first line is also of a very similar theme to my last one. I left the man with whom I had been living one morning in late summer after opening the wardrobe and seeing the tidy line of his shirt collars, white and blue, white and blue.
Hmm. I'm like, you know, I'm in the middle on this one. It could, yeah, I think yes. I'm saying smash.
Okay, it's like a tentative smash.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like that because I quite like a long first line.
Yes.
You know, suck me in. So this is The Coming Bad Days by Sarah Bernstein, which is a Daunt Books title.
I do not know about this. I'm not familiar
with
this.
Considering it came out in the spring, I really haven't seen much of it online. But basically, it's about a woman who leaves her partner and in a kind of self-imposed exile starts to have a bad time until she meets a woman called Clara, who is the exact opposite. And one thing I'll say is that I can't actually tell from this blurb if it's a queer novel or not. Do you know what I mean? It's like the...
Yes, yes, yes.
Friendship grows in intimacy. Clara suggests a new way of being. It's like, okay, are we gay or not?
Or are we joining a cult? Are we, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah, what's the vibe? But it does say there's an act of violence threatens to sever everything between them. Mm. So either way, I think it's got, you know, an edge of the literary thriller about it, which obviously I adore.
Agree.
So I'm excited.
Let me know. Report back. Yeah, because I don't have that. So maybe if you think it's good, I can borrow it from you.
I will. I'll lend it to you.
So my next choice is a really easy one. You will know what this is. Like, even if you hadn't read it, like, even if you had read this to me, I'd be like, I know what this book is.
That's so much pressure.
Oh my God. Like, you literally, like, 100%. Like, I will give you, like, £1 million.
If imagine if it was... Imagine if it was the first line of my book.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like, how the hell do you have that?
I have my ways. The deep sea is a haunted house. A place in which... Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I told you. The deep sea is a haunted house. A place in which things that ought not to exist move about in the darkness. What is that?
That is Our Wives Under the Sea by Julia Armfield.
It is. And it is coming in March 2022. So, yeah, for so fans of Salt Slow. Yeah.
Have smashed all over it. Love it.
Yes. I'm very hyped to read it. You know, because we love Salt Slow. And I'm really hyped to read a novel from Julia. But and that's, you know, a juicy little first line.
This is like something that I always say about books like this, you know, like the follow-up of a debut that I really loved. I knew that I would like it, but you never know whether or not you'll love it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's the same when you read books written by friends. Like, you expect to like them and you hope to like them, but to read something, to find that you actually really fucking love it is just the biggest feeling of joy and relief. And yeah, I love this. True. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I'm really hyped about this because I, you know, I know what it's about. I know the vibe. I know that I like Julia's writing, so I feel like I am set up for great success with this book.
Brilliantly creepy opening line as well.
Yeah. So I feel like...
You've picked two dark ones.
I have. And also quite thematically similar. You know, the deep sea is a haunted house. Like, that is thematically not dissimilar to Tell Me I'm Worthless by Alison Rumford, which was my last pick. We've strayed far from the twink of Lote.
Yeah, we have. The twink is but a distant memory.
Speaking of twinks that are distant memories...
What is this going to be?
Do you remember the demon twink?
Yeah!
Yeah, I feel like maybe a lot of people that listen to this podcast will not know about the demon twink, but it was a Twitter event moment that happened while we were away together a few weekends ago. Just about this very badly behaved twink on a Britney like club night on a boat in New York. We can't go back there, but we can remember it.
Was the twink ever found?
I don't know.
I don't hope know. Not. I want him to carry on living his life. He doesn't need to be bogged down with fame. Just
he's an ephemeral demon twink. He comes and goes. But yeah, I feel like Sarah Gran could do a sequel to Come Closer about the demon twink.
Oh my God, I would read the shit out of that.
So, okay. What is your next pick?
So, this is one that I've seen. I think it has one of the best titles of the year as well, by the way. Oh, I'm so dumb. Okay.
Yes.
Well, no, it's just that, you'll see why I'm dumb. I'm going to read it anyway. When she had referred to herself as Night Bitch, she meant it as a good-natured, self-deprecating joke, because that's the sort of lady she was. A good sport, able to poke fun at herself, definitely not uptight, not wound really tight, not so freakishly tight that she couldn't see the humour in a light-hearted, not meant as an insult situation. But in the days following this new naming, she found the patch of coarse black hair sprouting from the base of her neck and was like, what the fuck?
Is the book Night Bitch?
Yeah, the book's Night Bitch. By Rachel Yoda?
Yeah.
It's in the fucking line. I didn't even realize.
Well, it's good. Like, that's a good... I'm saying smash because I do want to read this. I don't have it, but I will read it.
I'll lend it to you, mate.
Thank you.
I'm really excited about it. I love the title. Carmen Maria Machado has called it feral and unholy, which I think is fucking banging.
Well, also, I'm interested in something that Karma Maria Mercado calls feral and unholy. You know, we had this, like, quite long conversation with our friend and friend of the pod, Jenny Tighe, about the book Animal by Lisa Tadeo, which Jenny was listening to on audiobook, and it just sounded quite lame.
And I don't fancy it.
Like, it was trying quite hard to be edgy, whereas if Karma Maria Mercado says something is like weird, I'm really into that.
I'm listening. Yeah,
me too.
Agreed. Okay, so that's a
I've also
smash.
Seen like quite a lot of chat about it, so I feel like it is promising the Night Bitch vibe.
Thing is, most of the chat I've seen, if I'm really honest, has been about the title. I think it is just such a striking title that like it's got people talking. But yeah, I think I posted it. I think when I got sent it, I posted a picture and had a few people be like, oh, that does bang. So,
well, yeah. A mere half an hour before I am saying these words, I'd seen Jasmine of the internet posting like a 5-star Twitter review of it. And Jasmine reads a lot. So I feel
like she does.
I'm interested in her response to this. So yeah, it's going down well, I think.
Cool. All right, I'm jazzed. What you got? Hit me.
This one you have read, but I don't think, you know, it's not like Our Wives Under the Sea, where the title, the first line is like a dead giveaway. So, there is a man with kind eyes and crooked teeth in my bed. I would say based on that, I would pass, even though it's on my TBR and I'm going to read it and I'm going to love it.
Oh, I think I would probably read that. It's not, I feel like it's not an immediate, like, I don't want to hit the snooze button, do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't felt like I've blacked out as soon as I've read it.
Yeah, but I feel like kind that's, of like, it would be quite hard. Like, of all the book, you know, of all the first lines that we have been distributing so far on this episode, I feel like, because they're all going to be, like, relatively well written, my barrier for them is quite, like, high, in that it's not so much that there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not like, do I actively want to read this book? It's not like I think it's a bad book. It's like, would this grab me? Is this selling the book to me?
It's really annoying that I don't know it.
It is New Animal by Ella
Baxter. I was gonna guess that, and then I was like, okay, fine. I was so close.
And yet so far.
BTW, New Animal by Ella Baxter. Picador just dropped their cover because it's an Australian book, so it's been out for a while. The American cover was dropped earlier this year. I've really resisted talking about it yet because I didn't want to inadvertently like encourage people to go and buy the wrong edition or whatever, because, you know.
In good time, you'll be able to get it easily. Yeah.
But oh my God, do I love it. I love it so much. It is such a good book. I absolutely smashed my way through it. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
I know it's out next year, but I don't know exactly when. So spring, we will return to this in the fullness of time.
Oh, I'm so annoyed that I didn't just go with my gut. Never mind. Never mind.
Always go with your gut.
Never mind. Okay.
Your turn.
So, okay. So this is one that actually came out in February this year, but I do like to read seasonally, and I was like, that's not a spring book for me. The merriment of moments before had dissolved into panic. Chairs were dragged back, wine glasses tumbled to the floor.
Yes, I like that.
Do you like that?
Yes, I do like that.
Cheeky smash?
I'm smashing. What is it?
So this is Madam by Phoebe Wynne.
Oh, yes.
And that is the prologue, summer 1993. But what I love about it is that when reading that, there's something about the use of the word the merriment of moments before makes it feel much older. Yes. You know, it has like a slightly kind of archaic vibe to it. And like the cover is the silhouette of a woman in an ankle length dress, which looks almost kind of Regency.
Yeah, the proof or like the proof cover or maybe the finished cover, I perceived that book, Madame, to be set in the French Revolution. That is the vibe that I got from that book.
Oh, interesting.
Which is obviously incorrect and is purely based on my brain. But yeah, that was what I took away from
It's actually set in Scotland.
Fascinating.
The Caldonbray Hall above Scottish cliffs. A boarding school for girls. Sounds good. I'm interested.
Yeah.
I just would never dream of reading a spooky, you know, a spooky book set in a fucking Scottish hall perched on top, a Scottish, you know, manor house perched on top of cliffs. I'm not going to read that in the spring. That's an autumn book.
That's too kinky. You couldn't do it. It couldn't be
done. Yeah, exactly. It's not right. So I'm really looking forward to it, but that's on my little October pile.
Hmm. Well, I will investigate and reframe my expectations. All right, so my next pick. Start from the beginning, she insisted. And if I were allowed to smoke, I would have lit a cigarette.
Shut up. Oh my God. I've read this this month.
Yes, you have.
Start from the beginning. And if I... Oh, what's it fucking... This is actually torture. Oh, Bethany Rotter. You really fucking got me.
Should I tell you?
No, wait, just give me one more second. One more second of pain. Because I can see it. I can see it in my mind's eye. Oh my God, it's Other People's Clothes.
Yes.
Yay!
It is. It is Other People's Clothes by Kala Henghor. Is this out yet?
I believe so.
Cool. Well, Other People's Clothes by Kala Henghor. You have read it, I have not read it. Based on your experience of it, I am extremely hyped to read it. Even from the description of it, I liked the sound of it. But knowing that you liked it so much, I am really up for it.
I just really enjoyed it. It has a lot in common in terms of like themes and vibes with two of my favorite books I've read so far this year, which is Night Shift by Kiara Ladner and New Animal by Ella Baxter that we just talked about. So, you know, I'm obviously onto a vibe right now, which involves late nights, dirty clubs, regret and whatnot. But yeah, it absolutely bangs. I loved it.
I am very looking forward to it.
Needless to say, I smashed. You're going to smash?
Yeah. Born to smash. So, what is your next pick?
So this is the last one for me. Did you go first or did I go first?
I believe I went... I can't remember. Oh. I've got one left, so...
Okay, so... This is another one that I've had for fucking ages. It came out over the summer. Let me, as they say, dive right in. My association with Michael Young began with an advert in FUSAC, the monthly listings paper known and resented by most of the Anglophone population of Paris.
Mmm. Smash.
Smash?
Yeah, I'd She's like to smashing. Read something in Paris. So, tell me what this book is.
So, this is a book called Voyeur by Francesca Rees. It's from Tinder. They have summed it up as, for fans of Anna Hope, Nisha Dolan, Emma Jane Unsworth, and Sally Rooney, which is very bold.
Yes.
IMO. And basically, it's about a young woman who has moved to Paris and tired of picking up, like, shitty jobs. She sees an advert from a writer who's seeking an assistant. She ends up moving to this with this dude. Where do they go? She's basically transcribing his diaries and then through this process discovers that there's something weird about him.
Okay, yeah.
I think that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I love the theme of like spying. I'm always very into that. I'm a very nosy person. I love sneaky narrators who are poking their noses in where they don't belong.
Yeah.
So relatable. I'm intrigued.
Cool. Very okay, intrigued. Well, yeah, I don't really know too much about this one. So please report back. You know back. What?
If you googled the cover, my proof is just like a, you know, doesn't have the blah, blah, blah. If you google the cover, you will recognize it. It definitely has like a black and white image of a woman. I think she's smoking on it.
Well, I like the title, like, so
black, you white, know. And yellow. Yeah. Okay, cool. Final book. Hit me.
My last book. Ahem. On the palm-sized screen, it looks curiously real, like something he's already seen.
Ooh.
That's all you're getting.
Ooh, I have no idea. I think I would smash.
Yes. Well, the book is the second novel by someone whose debut novel we have both read and discussed on the pod and like, and it feels like we've been waiting quite a while for her second book. Would you like me to tell you?
Yeah, what is it?
It is Something New Under the Sun by Alexandra Kleeman.
Ooh! Ooh, that makes sense.
Who wrote Pod Fave, You Two Can Have a Body Like Mine.
I was thinking, which was like,
out some time ago.
Who writes about technology?
Yes.
Hmm.
So I think this one is about the future and climate crisis and probably technology as well. But yeah, we love You Two Can Have a Body Like Mine. And I'm really hyped that we have a new Alexandra Kleeman in the world.
I just kind of can't imagine... I think You Two Could Have a Body Like Mine is such an unusual book. I literally can't imagine what that brain could possibly come out with next. So
yeah, I know what you mean. It's very singular. Like, it doesn't feel like it fits into, like, a world. It's just so much its own thing that I am actually really intrigued to know, like, what it's like to read another book by her that is not that book. Yes.
Same. Well, this was fun.
This was fun.
I do have a question for you. I have a few questions for you. In terms of first lines, how much work do you put into your first lines? Is it something that you worry about?
I think so. Maybe. I mean, with the thing I'm writing at the moment, I really like the first line. Like, I specifically like the first line of my second adult novel, which, God willing, will be out in 2023. But that, yeah, I feel like I want books to have a good beginning, but I'm not necessarily, like, hung up on the literal first line. So it's just chance that with this one, I've managed to hit upon the ideal first line, which I know will not change between now and publication. It will simply not. How about you?
Yeah, I think more about opening lines in short fiction. Like, I was just musing over what my opening line of my book is. And right now it's just one word, which for the purposes of this pod, a one word first line is kind of boring. So it doesn't really give you anything to go on. But yeah.
How often do you only read the first line though? Like this, what we've done today is very, not a normal way to be approaching a first line. Like, so your first word isn't, you know, probably never going to be read as just that one word. It will be read in the context of the rest of the line.
So then here's a question for you. Do you ever just read first lines when book buying or deciding what to read next?
No, never. Never.
Really?
I would never do that. Yeah, I would just base it on...
Do that.
No way. I want to know, like, the overall vibe of the book. I don't care about the first line. I care about, like, what is promised to me by the blurb, by the cover, by the people that have endorsed it. Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes I feel like the first line would probably not put me off necessarily.
Yeah,
like if it's already something that I've been intrigued enough to pick up and look at, then, you know, the first line it'd have to be something really spectacular for me to put it down again. But it can be the difference between me thinking, okay, I'll keep that on my radar, and me walking out the bookshop with it.
Fascinating. Well,
and also one other thing, all these proofs have been on my, you know, TBR for a while. I have read the first line of all these before. Like, every time I try and decide what I'm gonna read, I'll read the first line of a few things and just be like, okay,
what's the vibe?
What am I vibing with?
That's so interesting. Well, variety is the spice of life. That's why we have these chats, to find out, like, where we are the same and where we are different.
It's true. Whether or not we're on the same page.
So true. And it turns out that regarding first lines, I literally don't care. And you care a lot.
But then what I do think is interesting as well, though, right, is that another version of this game that we may or may not play in the future is to pick out our favorite first lines or first lines from books that we know and love and see if the other person recognizes them.
Yeah.
And that can be so much fun because it's something my husband and I sometimes do, staring at our books. It's really funny how sometimes a first line is so iconic, you don't even need to hear more than the first couple of words before it comes rolling back to you, you know exactly what it is. And sometimes it's like, holy shit, I've read that book 3 times. I have no idea what the first line is. No memory of it. Didn't stick.
Yeah, because it's like, well, is the entirety of the book encapsulated in the first line or is it not, I guess? Like, what purpose does the first line serve in that specific book?
And that's the thing as well, is if you Google, like, famous first lines, often what you'll find is, like, lots of iconic first lines. But it doesn't necessarily, that iconic first line doesn't necessarily mean it's a first line that is going to grab you personally.
Yes.
Whereas also, on the flip side, I don't like it when the first line, when it feels like it's trying too hard.
Yeah.
Like, if the first line feels like a creative writing prompt,
yeah,
I'm kind of out, you know?
Yeah, and then it's unfortunate because I feel like a lot of the kind of iconic first lines, as with many iconic things, are famous because they were kind of the first to do something like that, which now feels like a cliche and has become a creative writing prompt, but at the time was like, you know, groundbreaking. Or, well, I'm, you know, thinking,
when I say creative writing prompt, I mean stuff like, you know, the explosion ricocheted around the block. You know, like some, you know, like that's really kind of in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Kind of very intentionally heavy handed, spicy kickoff.
Whereas I was thinking of something like 1984, which is, you know, you would read now and be like, that's deliberately intriguing. But maybe it at the time was like groundbreaking. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
I would argue, I still think that that's, I would still put that one in my good. Column A for good rather than column B for trying too hard.
Yeah, I agree, but I feel like, you know, because it has been so subsumed into the kind of discourse around first lines, it could be easy to write it off as like, oh, you know, that's just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, or like, I mean, on the other hand, something like Rebecca, which is like a very really famously like many people's favorite first line, last night I dreamt of Mandalay again, right? If that was a misquote, I apologize.
I think it's I went to Mandalay again, but whatever, you know, the vibe is the same.
No, it's dreamt.
No, I mean, last night I dreamt I went to, yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, the reason why that line is so amazing, hang on, sorry. Yes, it is. Last night I dreamt I went to Mandalay again. But, I mean, obviously the line itself, the reason why it's so beloved is because of the resonance of it when you get to the end of the book.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And like, so that's kind of another thing, like with this game, we can't possibly know by the time we finish the book if these lines will have
a greater or different significance. Yeah.
Yes.
So true. Well, look, let's revisit this concept in the future.
Sounds good, bestie.
Well, I will see you on the flip side. Who knows what we'll be talking about then, but I'm intrigued to find out.
Catch you later.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.